It used to be that it was just the song and let's keep going with the rest of the, you know, other songs and everything. But our little guy, he would say, I want to tell the story right after the song. And he would say, there once was a little shoemaker, and he would work, and he would say about working from Sunday through Thursday. And then he would say, but Fridays, he would say, he would have one eye on the tools and one eye looking at the sun. And he would say, and when the sun will start going down, he would put his tools away and he would put a big sign on the door that said, closed. And then he would have a wonderful Sabbath. And that was the end of his story. And he loved that song. So we would sing the song, pray. And then our little girl's favorite thing was we would all hug and say, happy Sabbath. And she loved it because we would always give her hugs. But he wouldn't always give his sister hugs. So that was a special moment for her because brother had to give her a hug. And she would just wait there, you know, and he would come and hug her. And they would say, happy Sabbath. And we would just be so happy about this Sabbath. You know, today you're not the only one getting together as a church family saying happy Sabbath to each other. All around the world. I think I have the wrong clicker because it's not working. But you will see the next slide and you'll see that it's different languages. I don't know how many languages you know that you know how to say happy Sabbath in a different language. I know Feliz Sábado, Shazliva Suboti in Russian, Shabbat Shalom. What about you? What other language? I know that one day I was sitting with Gisette and I said, how do you say happy Sabbath in French? And she told me, and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I don't know how to say that. And then she asked, how do you say happy Sabbath in Spanish? And I said, Feliz Sábado. And she said, oh, well, that was easy. She said, and she was able to say this, happy Sabbath in different languages. I wanted to show you some of those languages, but let's wait and see if this works. It's on. I'll wait one little bit more and then we'll continue. Well, we are going to have to jump to the next part. There you go. Praise God. Do you see them clearly? Some of them, maybe not so clearly. I want you to choose one of them and try to say it to the person next to you. It's in different languages, so choose one of those, and please at this moment, tell the person next to you, happy Sabbath, in a different language. Oh, I see you, very good. I wonder who's going to be, I wonder who's going to be the one telling me happy Sabbath in India. How do you say happy Sabbath? Because it's a long one. I can see right there. It's really long. In Japanese, happy Sabbath. Do you ever wonder who was the very first person that said happy Sabbath? God? Well, this is something very interesting that I found out not too long ago. Our pioneers from church, when church was finished or when they would greet each other, do you know that they didn't used to say happy Sabbath? They actually used to say, stay in the name. Stay in the name. And when I read that, I thought, oh, that's really interesting. So when did happy Sabbath start happening? I don't know, but I do know that they used to say, stay in the name. And what name are we talking about? Well, the scripture reading that Tina read said, if my people, that was God, who are called by my name. We have a name that comes from the Lord. And in his name, I invite you to pray with me right now before we continue. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for the name that you've given us as a church. I thank you that you are our Father. You've adopted each one of us. And today, you want for each one of us to stay in your name. So, Father, whatever destruction is going on, whatever we have in our mind, help us to allow you to put it on the side, to put it away, so that we can understand the message you have for us. Father, I pray that with my lips, with my mouth, may I honor you. May the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what's your name? What's your name? There was one of our sisters outside who said that she really liked the title of this sermon because she remembers how she got her name. And she was telling me of her name, Sharon of the Valley, I believe, and how she got that name, and it was just so beautiful, beautiful story. But let's find out a little bit about our names. So let's go to the Bible, and the first Bible verse we're going to read is in Isaiah 43:1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Now let's go to Isaiah 49, 1. Chapter 49, verse 1. And it says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name." And then one last one, and that's in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 5:2. Let's go all the way to Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. And the Bible says, "He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created." Who gave the name? God did. God knew your name and my name before we were born. And you know, I think most, maybe not all, but most parents have this discernment of how to call their children. It's incredible. The name going with the personality of the child. We had a member when we were in Grants Pass, and this person, this man, he was so kind, and you could trust him. And every time, if you thought of the word faithful, you would think of this man. Do you know what his name was or is? Loyal. Loyal. Loyalty. Perfect name for that person. In San Jose, there was this lady who was very humble. She would do so many things, but never, ever would say applaud to me. Or you just knew that she was very humble, very sweet. Her name is Margarita. Now, Margarita is a Spanish name. In English, it would be Daisy, a little Daisy. Not a big orchid or another kind of flower, just a little daisy, humble, sweet. Isn't that beautiful? And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to do some research on your names here. And I went and I looked for some of the names. How many of you know Francis' grandson, little Bennett? Nobody? Yes, I know you do. There's this little baby, Bennett. And every time I see him, I just want to squeeze him. He's so cute. His name, according to the research I did, is Blessed. And what a blessing Bennett is to so many. The other name that I found here is Tina. And you know Tina. You have to know Tina because Tina says hi to everybody. Tina, according to what I found out, is little one, flower of God. Amen, right? You're like, perfect name for her. Praise God. And here's another name, and this name, we have a couple of people that have this name, and the name is Bill, William, Bill. The name means protector, and I thought, perfect name for our Bills here. And since we're talking about Bill, there's a name that I remember when I met this person, I thought, oh, I've never heard of that name. And then, do you remember a couple months ago, we had Charissa Fong and her sister and Sonia, they were here, and they said, hey, that's a perfect name for her, but we've never heard of that name before, and that's Donnell. Never heard of that name, but so perfect. Would you, I mean, could you really think of Donnell being instead of that Stephanie? Carol? No, the name goes perfect with her. We have Ignacio. What if Ignacio's name was Edward? No, right? We have Pastor Tony. What if Pastor Tony was Michael? Pastor Michael. I like my Pastor Tony. Names go with, God just gives this discernment. Names, beautiful, beautiful thing about names. And what beautiful thing to know that God knew of our name before we were given the name by our parents or by whoever gave us our name. So we know about our name. We know that he knows our name. But do we know his name? Do we really know and understand his name? Let's go to the Bible, and we're going to go to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called, what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Have you ever met someone that had those names? No. Only our God. Only Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah. Actually, Revelation 1:5. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's our God. And my husband was supposed to speak today, and there was a change. But Valerie didn't know about the change. And so yesterday, when I looked at the bulletin and I saw the song that she was going to be whistling, I thought, that was God. That was God. We're going to be talking. We're talking about God's name. And she was whistling about what? Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend. He is the Lamb of God. He came to rescue. He rescued you and me. He's a Counselor. He's a Comforter. He's a Keeper. The Spirit we long to embrace. He gives us hope that nobody else is able to give. He's the Almighty, Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. It says, he is in your throne, meaning he is the King of kings. And then he says, you are, which reminds me of how he said, I am who I am. He is the healer. He is our gracious Lord. Nobody is able to have that name. Nobody would ever be able to have that name. This young man here, I don't know if you recognize his face. His name is Ryan Rotella. And Ryan was in the University of Florida some years ago. And as he went into one of his classes, the teacher there, the professor, he said, please grab a piece of paper and with a pen, I want you to write down the name Jesus. He was very glad to do that. He's a Christian. So he wrote the name Jesus, and everybody else did. Now the professor said, okay, now I want you to please put the name of Jesus, the piece of paper, put it on the floor, please. And some of the students did, as the teacher said, and Ryan just felt horrible about doing that. But he felt even worse, because then the teacher said, now that you have that paper on the floor, I want you to step on it. And Ryan wouldn't have it. He said, I will never be able to do that. No, I won't do that. The professor then said, it's part of our curriculum. You need to do this. It's part of the class. I've done it before. It's okay, he said. This is just to give you an idea. This is just, you know, part of the curriculum. He said that it was to share the importance of symbols in culture. Well, Ryan wouldn't do it. So he went and he spoke to the dean, and he was actually suspended for not participating in this class. Now, when they talked to the teacher, because this made news, they were talking to him, and he said, I won't do it, I won't do it. And so they talked to the teacher. You know what the teacher said? He said, I just followed the directions from the instructor's guide. He had done this class before. And then he said, you know, I myself, I'm a Christian. It's just a piece of paper. There's times that the beautiful name of Jesus, it's almost like it's on the floor and people step on it. And not only a piece of paper per se, but in our actions, there's many times that we disrespect his name. Here's a quote from Ellen G. White, Christian Experience and Teaching. It says, holy and reverent is his name. Some have faint views of the holiness of God and how much they take his holy and reverent name in vain without realizing that it is God, the great and terrible God of whom they are speaking. You know, after Jesus died, he rested on the Sabbath. And then he was resurrected on the seventh day, on the Sunday, right? And as he was resurrected, he ascended to heaven. And when he left, he gave us promises that he would return. But when he was gone, you know what the disciples did? They couldn't stop talking about him. They couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And we see that in Acts, the book of Acts, it talks about how they would get together and they would pray to God constantly and talk about his goodness and all that he did. They could not stop mentioning the name, the beautiful name of Jesus. I'm in love with my husband. And any minute that I'm able to say his name and to talk about him, I'll do it. But Jesus, our God, how proud, how happy to share about Jesus, about our precious Lord, our God. So the disciples were there, the apostles were there together. And then there's one Bible verse that says in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call the what? The name of the Lord shall be saved. And as they were sharing this with so many people, guess what happened? Well, the people that were around them, they started wondering, and they asked Peter and the apostles, they said, so what should we do? We want to be saved. What should we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, everyone on you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not just in any name, in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of the Lord. There's a song that I don't know if you know. It's an old song, and it says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. The person who wrote that, they also share the following. There's been leaders who have tried to destroy the name of Jesus, philosophers who have tried to stamp on it, tyrants that have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claim it. And yet, the name of Jesus still stands. There shall be a final day, they said, when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall raise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus, for that day, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. There is something about that name. We talked about our personal name. We talked about the name of Jesus. But what about our name together? What about this name? What is our name? We knew of a lady, her name was Olive, and she was in Grants Pass. And Olive was 106 years old. And when we met her, I mean, everybody wanted to meet Olive. She had lived with her name for so long. So I remember the day my husband and I went to meet her. We said, "Very nice to meet you." And she said, "Nice to meet you." She said, "My name is Olive, the Christian who loves the Lord." That was her last name and middle name. "My name is Olive, the Christian who loves the Lord." We have a name. We've been given a name as a church. We've been given a name as children of the Lord. It says, "If my people who are called by my name," Christ, Christians. You know that tomorrow, October 1st, 1860, there was a group of people that got together and in Michigan, and they were wanting to decide on a name for our church. How long ago is that? 157 years ago, on October 1st, there was these people who got together and they wanted to have a name for the church. And they didn't just start going, "What name do you think?" No, they started praying and saying, "Lord, you tell us, what name do you want for us?" And after much prayer, it was decided that the church would be called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Three words, Seventh-day Adventist Church. The first part, they said, it's going to talk about where we came from. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made." 7 days. The Sabbath. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 100, verse 3. And the Bible says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." He made us. Creation. Let's go to the next one. Exodus 20. And I think most of us know what this is about. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. The fourth commandment. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days is that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Seventh day, talking about the Sabbath. That was the first part of our name. The seventh day refers to God's power in creating this earth in 6 literal days. And it says that it was a creation, the seventh-day Sabbath, that reminds us that we are a direct creation of God. The first part of our name, seventh day. Now, the second part, remember, the first part is telling us where we come from. The second part is telling us where we're going to. Adventist. John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. And this is one that many people have as their favorite. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Seventh-day Adventist. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 7. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced them. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. And one last one, and one of my favorites too, and that's Revelation 21, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And then this beautiful Bible verse and Bible promise, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You know, when the kids left, we were singing a song, and I told you about this, Side by Side We Stand, and when we, is it Side by Side We Stand? Yes. And when we finished singing this song, everybody was crying. My husband was crying. The kids were crying. I was crying. And then we started talking about what it will be when Jesus comes to get us home. And we talked about that cloud that is going to be little, and then it's going to start growing and growing, and then you're going to see that it's angels, thousands and thousands of angels. Telling them the story, their face started changing from sadness to hope, to that wonderful day that he has promised for you and for me, where there will be no more pain, no more tears. The best is yet to come. It's not, the story is not over. The best is yet to come, and that is Jesus. Seventh-day Sabbath, Adventist, his second coming, being with Jesus for the rest of our lives. We look forward. What a beautiful name we have. Don't you agree? So now you understand why they would greet each other and say, stay in the name. Stay in the name. Stay in the name. We are told that Adventists, we are waiting for the return of Jesus, the blessed hope. It is the great objective and goal of every seven-day Adventist to be there. Stay in the name. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's our name. The children of God. What a blessing that is. Here's a quote from Ellen G. White, Testimonies to the Church. Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people, separate from this world. He has made them his representatives and has called them to be ambassadors for him in the last work of salvation. You know that when it was 2010, was the 150th anniversary of our name. And the president of our church, Pastor Ted Wilson, he preached a sermon entitled, Remember Your Name. And he said something that I remember when I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, that's true. He said, remember your name, Seventh-day Adventist. Every time you say it, you preach a sermon. You do. It says when you share with the public in writing or in speech, don't just refer to yourself as I'm Adventist. Don't hide behind the abbreviation, I'm an SDA. Every time you say, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, you are preaching a sermon. You're preaching a sermon. He also went on to say in this sermon that little did the pioneers who did intensive study and consecrated prayer, little did they know that in 2010, there will be more than 210 countries that had Seventh-day Adventist churches all over, and that we're finding out more and more about our precious Lord. Our church today is not a church that is sleeping. It's on the go. It's moving forward with God before us. Our church in Roseburg, too. We are having a week of prayer that starts tomorrow. And you can participate of history. Because the day that we have today, we won't have tomorrow. What comes today may not come tomorrow. And this week of prayer will be a blessing to many of us and many of our neighbors and many of our friends. You need to be here. Our true church is moving forward. It says, he said, our name was developed out of intensive Bible study. We believe in sola scriptura, that the Bible is our foundation and only rule of faith. God knew, amen, yes, God knew that his remnant people needed a distinctive name that would identify them as those, and listen to this, Seventh-day Adventist, stay in the name, means the following, Revelation 12:17, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The remnant church or remnant people, we must never use this name as a self-centered, exclusive manner. We need to be the humblest on earth. And he said, this Adventist movement is made of humble, simple people, not simplistic, simple. Many of God's people are educated, disciplined, but yet they are to be simple people, recognizing our complete need of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and praising him for calling us to his mighty Adventist movement. Brothers and sisters, listen to the name, the pioneers, what they did to get the name. And then you realize that 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's all over in our name. We are to be the humblest. We are to pray. We are to seek him. We are to turn from our evil way because we are the people of God. We are the people of God. That's what he's called us to. So this morning, I just want to invite you to please open your heart to what God is calling you to do, to wearing your name, knowing that God gave you the name, knowing that God gave us our name. At the end of the sermon that Pastor Wilson had 7 years ago, he gave an appeal. It's a powerful appeal, and I want to share with you his appeal. But I want all of us, to do something that we usually don't do. And that is, as you're hearing the appeal, I want you to think, this is for me. Constantly think, this is for me, this is for me. Because there will be things that may make you think, oh, that's really good for so-and-so. I hope that person's listening to that. No. Let's really search our hearts. And if the thought comes to your mind of, ooh, I hope so-and-so is hearing it, in that moment, say, Father, forgive me. I know this is for me. This is his appeal. This is what he said. And I believe this is what God is calling us to. He said, let us search our hearts today and remember our name. I make a special appeal to those who are discouraged, frustrated, perhaps distant from the church or the Lord. Remember your name. He said, to those, including us leaders, who at times have not followed God's guidance in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but have willfully followed our own way and made the politically correct decision instead of standing courageously for what we know to be right, we must all resolve to submit ourselves humbly before the Lord and remember your name. To those of us who have neglected consistent Bible study and prayer and allowed even the good things to crowd out Jesus, to those who have allowed television, popular music, hobbies, the internet, video games, inter-school sports, and a myriad of other things to crowd our time from the Lord, remember your name. Refocus on Jesus, his word, prayer, and the writings of the spirit of prophecy. To those that have forgotten that practical Christian service is the inevitable expression of your relationship with God, remember your name. To those who find themselves drifting far from the theological center of the word and the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, remember your name. To young people who are caught up in the living life in the fast lane and with little regard for the church, remember your name and come home. To those who are older and have become fossilized and static and stale in their Christian experience, which probably includes a lot of us, remember your name. To independent groups or ministries who have found themselves somewhat distant from official church connection and have accepted tithe for support, contact your local church or local conference and return to a warm and appropriate relationship. Refusing to accept tithe and encouraging members to return their tithe through the storehouse of the local church, remember your name. Brothers and sisters, to church members who are bitter or angry because another church member offended you, to churches where there are open fights, jealousies, tensions, remember your name. Implement God's ministry of reconciliation and unity outlined in Matthew 18, John 17, 2 Corinthians 5. Remember your name. How will we remember our name? How will we unite to finish God's work? How will we fulfill Christ's prayer for unity? When we will see God's church filled with incredible Holy Spirit power, when will we go home to heaven? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their evil ways. Remember our name. 2 Chronicles 7:14 and Revelation 12:17. That's our name given by God. I invite you, brothers and sisters, to remember our names, to remember the names that we were given by our parents, but to remember more than anything the name that God has given us. And as a church, may we march forward knowing that we have a name that the most beautiful name, the name of God, has given to you and I. I invite you to stand as we close with our hymn number 612. 612.